Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm Garth Ennis, and you need to be listening to Drinking with Comics.
Thank you, sir.
No worries.
Hello, and welcome to Drinking with Comics. I'm Sean. This is Chris.
Hello.
That's Mike. Jordan's on the end. And from the Philippines, Karen, say your last name for me.
Karen Kunovich.
Kunovich, because
yes,
Mike said it two different ways,
it's
and I
right.
wanted to be sure
it's,
I was correct.
It's Polish, but I'm from the Philippines.
Right
so.
On. Well, hey. And,
international woman.
So,
yes.
So, Karen, you've come in. So why did you come in? So you came in just
why
to visit Mike?
Why are you here? Did you ask yourself that same question?
Why
I'm
am
bigger.
I here? I went on Facebook and then I saw my picture on Drinking with Comics and
so
I'm like,
you feel
oh
obligated.
My God.
Wow.
I have something. So I have something. So I was having a burger and I'm like, oh my God, I have to go to. So.
Oh, you didn't know you were coming until.
I mean, I just saw the Facebook thing and then I just hashtagged it for myself, no pressure.
And then flew over. So you actually, flew over because.
I mean, the announcement on Facebook was like maybe 48 hours ago.
Oh, so you, I'm sorry. I thought you meant you were eating a hamburger in the Philippines. You saw that
no,
you were
I was eating a hamburger earlier. Like, it was almost like I had no, that's it. You know, you have to show up. Your face is on.
That's a lesson for everybody out there that we could just, Mike could just suddenly be like, hey, you know, Carl Weathers. You're going to be on Drinking with Comics.
Exactly.
You better
and
show
then,
up.
Yeah.
I'm,
and that's
I'm pretty
it,
sure
right?
that Carl would
yeah,
show
would.
Up if you asked
he
him.
He probably would, yeah. I think
mean,
he lives closer.
You care enough about the people who posted and said, you know, oh, we're going to...
Yeah,
know,
and you had, like, people excited that you're going to be here. So thank you for coming and not letting
you.
Us
so,
down
I mean,
or them
you,
down.
Yeah,
thank
what
you,
are you going to do?
Yeah.
Thank you, Drinking with Comics.
So,
okay, you can go home now.
Yes, bye. Bye. Okay, just take everything and go.
So, also, Kirsten is working the cameras, as always, and we have a live studio audience, so thank you, everybody, for
Thanks
showing
everybody.
Up.
Thanks, everybody.
And, real quick, so we have some complimentary beer. There's a cooler right over there. It is Garage Brewery's Apple Pie.
Brewing Company.
Garage Brewing Company's Apple Pie Pale Ale, courtesy of Steve Simon, who's been on the show before way, way back on our second episode. But, yeah, it was weird.
Was
like,
he on our second episode?
He was.
Ever?
Yeah. Go back. It's,
how long have we been doing this?
A long time.
Okay.
I mean, not like...
5 years?
You know, not like Sanford and Son long, but like a long time.
Okay.
You big dummy. So...
so he found some beer for us.
He found some beer for us, and
yes.
I thought that was awesome. And so, please help yourself. I've had... he specifically said this is for the next Drinkable Comics, and it's been about 2 months, so I've had... like 18 bottles of beer
on the wall.
Can I read what this is? It's an English-style pale ale with apple juice and cinnamon, right? 5.4% alcohol by volume. Raphael's getting off his seat to get himself a bottle. Come get it, baby.
There's a bottle opener floating around as well. See,
yeah.
Jesus.
So it's here for you, and we're here for you. That's why we're here.
So, and then real quick, I'm drinking Seafarer, which is Three Weavers Brewing. They're Kolsch. I really like this beer. I wanted to be drinking the Strand Brewery, which is in Torrance. They have a blonde beer that is absolutely unbelievable, but it has been selling out constantly. So, no pressure, Strand, but if you make it, we will drink it.
Oh my gosh, next time I have to bring some Philippine alcohol here.
Wait, so...
Can we tell the story real quick about the...
I brought, at San Diego Comic Con last year, I showed up on preview night with a big bottle of something called Don Papa Rum.
Okay.
Which is from my mother's home province. And I said, here is a gift from my...
I still have the bottle in the note.
To you. And... I gave it on Wednesday, and then I showed up Thursday morning. Like,
No. You gave it to us Wednesday at 6.
Wednesday at 6.
And you rolled back around at 7:30
there you go.
That
anyway,
night.
I just said, oh, is there any more? You know, I'll have a
it was
little
gone.
Sip. It was like...
Wait a minute. Oh, wow. Was it... It was rum?
Was... Yes, Don Dark Papa rum.
It went down really smooth.
I guess
you know, so. I felt bad. I like was not prepared to bring like our fine selection of Philippine rums and
so there's more.
Things.
I'm so happy you did not bring hard alcohol to this podcast, especially rum. Like seriously, thank you.
Oh, you're
so much for not.
But it is drinking with comics.
It is,
and you know, you have someone from the islands.
So preview night's only like 4 or 5 days away.
Anyway.
Yes. Yes.
So, okay, so what? So did you came to California to go to San Diego? Was that the Comic Con? Was the main?
My first Comic Con was in 2010, and then I am hopefully going to make my 10th Comic Con.
So you've come every year for 10? Wow.
It's my 9th. Years. This will be my 9th. And then I think in 2011, they had a really nice panel, the Philippine Invasion.
Oh.
And am I allowed to, like,
show
this?
Yeah, of course.
This? Yeah, this is
right. Yeah.
Look, use Mike as, you know, you're allowed to do anything you want.
Oh.
Yeah, essentially. Yes.
Well, so I just wanted to say hello, Philippines. If there's anybody from the Philippines watching, hello, Bacolod City,
hello.
Pasig City, Metro Manila.
We'll see you at the end
whatever.
Of the month.
Yes, APCC, Mike and Rafael will be there. But in 2011, they had a panel called The Philippine Invasion. And this guy, Jerry Alangilan, who is a good friend of mine, was part of that panel along with so many others, like Alex Nino, Tony De Zuniga. Will Sportacho was not part of that panel, but I felt he should have been, but that's not my job to be on programming, but Will's will be at APCC. And Jerry also drew this Captain America.
He inked this one.
He inked it. Yes, he's an inker, and he's been inking since...
He inked over your neighbor, though.
Yes, Hank, Lionel Francis Yu also. They're both based in the Philippines. And these guys have been working for U.S. companies since the 90s, mm-hmm. and they would send their work via FedEx, but now with all the internet and everything,
right.
they're able to
work
from the home country and...
Digitally. That's crazy to me, though. I never thought of this before. They used to have to FedEx it?
They would have... So they would be given a deadline, and they would always have to, like...
Finish
time
before
it.
The deadline.
Yeah,
in order
so
to
that
get
the
it.
FedEx would be able to get it there. But I think Jerry would be better equipped to tell the story. I will tag him under this podcast.
Hi,
Jerry.
Comment. Yes.
Yes, and congratulations, Jerry and Lionel.
Yes.
On this, they had a big launch, and exciting.
So they launched. Now is that
not a big launch, but they had an event.
Is that the Back newest home. Iteration of Captain America?
Yes,
I'm
written
so
by Ta-Nehisi Coates. Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Did I say it wrong?
I don't know.
Which I love, though, like that it's being written by Ta-Nehisi Coates and it's being drawn and inked by two people from the Philippines. It's got to be driving Trumpers crazy that this is the people who are taking care of the Captain America,
right.
you know? Which, good on them. I want to comment, like... So I met Karen 2 years ago at San Diego Comic-Con, and she picked up Guns A-Blazin' and kind of went on her way, and we became Facebook friends, because, like, you know, as you do, like, when you meet somebody, oh, that's cool.
And then I became friends with Rafael.
Yeah.
And then Jordan.
Yeah.
And then we watched the 3-hour version of Drinking with Comics.
So yeah, and like, so she...
And it was so interesting and kind of funny
that.
And
like
odd.
Like in a train
and,
mix sort of
and
way?
And
I refuse to edit it, so you know I didn't watch it. That episode is lost.
I was really embarrassed by that. But anyway, so, but we're kind of like pen pals. We talk all
okay.
the time. And at one point, probably about a year and a half after knowing you and just thinking you're like this cool person and fun person to talk to, I Googled her. And
so you began Google stalking her.
I
Googled
her. Does
it usually take you a year and a half to Google? No, I'm sorry.
Well, I haven't Googled you yet, but I'm afraid, just because I fear what I'll see.
Wow.
So she's a comic book writer. She's she edited Peach Mango.
Just Mango. Peach Mango Pie is the Jollibee pie, and Jollibee is a famous fast food chain. The late Anthony Bourdain ate there and... ate the chicken joy and their spaghetti. And yes, Peach Mango Pie is one of their pies, but I wrote for Mango Comics.
Okay.
Not Peach Mango
Way
Comics.
Way to bring it around to Anthony. But so she edited the first all-female anthology,
had,
and it was a monthly book, right?
We tried to do it monthly, but we were all not working together in the same office. Our publishers just wanted a pair of female writer, female artist, and a whole... female editorial board.
Mm-hmm.
Toward the end, it was very difficult to sustain because we didn't have the same office and, like, people would leave and get other jobs. So we had guys and girls working to put the comic out together. It was called Mango Jam, and it had like four main stories, and I did editorial work on it. So I'm very proud of it. It's not being published.
It lasted
published
a year or so, right?
No, we did several years. We did about maybe 16, 17 issues.
And she had a character in there, which one of my projects, once Guns A-Blazin' wraps up, that I'm hoping to do. I know, I'm putting you on this spot. No pressure.
No pressure. Hashtag no pressure.
No, but she created a character in a series called Kali.
Yes.
And pitch Kali real quick.
Well, yeah, it's there have been several comic books and films using Philippine martial arts, but mine was just the lead character, of course, as demanded by the publisher. All your heroes had to be girls. And they didn't have to have the bikini.
Right.
And they could be anything. So mine was this girl who did Philippine martial arts, and the wood that her sticks came from a very special tree, and she lived with her dead grandmother who was a ghost. So I actually just... There's not from Cali, but another friend of mine, Jay Ignacio, is working on a comic with Alex Nino, who I also, I don't know, here's a page. He put it on Facebook, and it's also using Philippine martial arts with the sticks.
Can you send it, not now, but can you send it to me and I can edit it into the, okay.
Sure.
So Alex Nino drew that?
Yes, it's something new with, I mean, I can share it because he shared it on Facebook.
Right,
it's not like something top secret that can't show it. So... Yeah, it's just a little scarier now because 15 years ago, you would just read it and kind of enjoy the story. Now people are very, is she holding the stick correctly? Is she doing the martial arts correctly? Is she doing, and then this whole thing with the cultural appropriation and everything. And and they actually, I don't know if Rafael and Mike will see it, but there is a soap opera now on one of the big stations in the Philippines, and it's called Victor Magtatanggol. It's Victor Defender. And it's this Filipino guy, or a mestizo Filipino, meaning he's Filipino but he's got mixed blood, whatever. And he's dressed up like Thor, but he has black hair and a hammer, so he's kind of like controversial, because why aren't you making a telenovela with a Philippine hero using Philippine mythology? Why do you have to use Norse?
Is he a superhero?
Well, you guys can chat and I can look up.
We gotta see this, dude.
I can look up a.
This is the whole reason we're actually going to this convention, so we can watch this show.
No, it's what the what the comic community has been talking about.
But it's a live action show, right?
Yes, and it's really clearly copying Thor.
But it's like a daily show.
Yeah, I think so. It's like a soap.
It's a soap. Okay. That's interesting.
Okay, here. GMA. I don't know if there's...
Remember the show Soap?
I do.
That's a great
show. It looks kind of like Nightwing.
There. So he's got here's a picture of him. He's Filipino, but they use
Vic
Norse.
Vic Thor.
Yeah, Vic Thor. There. And he's got a hammer. So I have friends who are
around?
Just... Yeah.
It'll come back.
Okay.
I know everybody.
My friends are just kind of wondering... Why do you have to use...
Mike, everybody has a device.
I'm Urban Amish, dude. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Raphael.
Okay, they can go.
It's a curse to me. It's like, it's not the only I...
It's okay.
It's all right. But, I mean... So, I think if you're going to start using things like martial arts or certain culture, I think people now demand that you really know your stuff.
Yeah.
And that you show it respect. And that... you also know what's your own and what you can play with, but also respect the origins of it. So I think if I did do my comic again, I would really take those things into consideration.
I mean, I guess now you have to. I mean,
but you were studying that art, like when you were doing the comic.
Yes, I was, but I mean, definitely, I was a little bit fast and loose with it, you know, and just trying to put some comedy into it. And Jay, who's writing this one, the new one with Alex Nino, he's really, really, into it. And people are more, they're smarter than you think. The mm-hmm. audience is smarter than you think. And if you just put something hokey or phony or...
Well, audiences have matured in a way where, you know, I mean, even at this point, like, meta pastiche is subject to, you know,
right.
skewering.
Yeah,
so,
well, sometimes it goes overboard.
I mean, you know,
yeah,
it's one of the things where it's like, you kind of have to be, you know, a lot. So I was recently talking to somebody about Infinity Gauntlet. It's like, it's really hard for me to go back and, like, get into that headspace because they're written in, you know, this editorial driven where it's like Wolverine constantly has to be saying, like, well, that's why I'm the best there is at what I do. And everybody's got to be, you know, you've got the narration bubbles and the thought bubbles. And it's like every issue is for somebody that just picked it up the first time. And it's like, that doesn't fly anymore. Like, audiences mm-hmm. are sophisticated.
Right.
And everything is kind of caught up. I mean, I really think comics have led the way where, you know, when you see television where it is now as opposed to where it was 30 years ago, it's so unbelievably different. I think
more serialized now.
It's more serialized. But also, I mean, I think two things, and I mean, you're going to laugh at me because, like, one of them, you're gonna be like, oh, geez, this. I'm not going to go off on it, but I think two things changed television. I think comics changed television, and I think Twin Peaks changed television.
Oh,
I think Joss Whedon did.
I mean, and well, Whedon did as well. I absolutely agree. In fact, you know,
I mean,
it's
I didn't
weird.
Watch a lot of it, but
we were watching something
say.
Earlier. Kirsten had on like a little bit that Looper did on Lost Boys, which is a movie I didn't see as a kid somehow, so I saw it later in life, and I grew to love it, but love's a strong word. But the Kiefer Sutherland character, Joss Whedon, was talking about how he was the direct inspiration for Spike, and like, I never would have even thought of that, but he's
I
like, oh,
see
yeah.
That. I mean
like,
I would see that like with a mashup of, you know, Sid Vicious, because that's basically what him and Drusilla were. They were the vampire Sid and Nancy.
Yes, absolutely. But so audiences are more sophisticated, so you do have to take those things into consideration. However, I mean, I also think everybody's a little bit like, I think identity politics is a little bit out of control.
Way out of control. Sometimes
I think we need to, like, people need to back the fuck off. Like, you know, like, if you live in the Philippines and you want to tell a story and it involves somebody looking like Thor or, like, incorporating some Norse mythology, like... I don't think that's a reason to boycott anything. I know that's not, we're not really saying that's what's happening, but you were saying that there's kind of like a backlash.
A mixed reaction to it, and since it's so rich in mythology, and there's just so much to dig up, and when Neil Gaiman visited the Philippines, he wanted to, you know,
absorb it, and he's very good at that. And he's very good at gobbling up mythology. The Hellboy creator, help me,
Mike Mignola.
Yeah, he's very good at it as well, where he kind of like takes all these different mythologies and works them into this over kind of arching tapestry. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other thing too, though, is I don't know anything about the folklore of the Philippines, and I'm sure there's some really awesome stuff that should be. So then, like, if they want to do something that's kind of appropriating Norse mythology, they should be able to. But at the same time, why wouldn't you want to dig into that culture's mythology?
That's what I mean, that there's so much. And we do have a wealth of creators. And we have independent comic book conventions several times in a year. There's a scene, and it gets supported. And they're really good... lots of really good artists and creators. I wish I could, like, buy them all.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time that I was really active and really excited about everything, that was, like, 20 years ago, and all these guys that I met and worked with and talked to, they're all, well, like Jerry, they're all, you know, publishing books, getting awards, getting international.
Well, I mean, good. So there's a lot of growth there.
Yeah,
so that's
there's
very
so,
good.
I know. I mean, I don't know if they'll be able to see the indie scene, but it's...
we will. That's why we're going.
It's
one reason we're going.
It's happening. Yeah. It's happening. So there's a wealth of content. So I think one of the many arguments is that there's this so much content, so many creators, but you still have to borrow because I guess it's familiar. It's expected to get the ratings and.
I mean, I can kind of see that as well. I mean, it's like, why does every brewery make an IPA? It's because IPA is now a household word. So if you start a brewery, you make an IPA because it's probably going to sell better than if you're going to do, I'm going to do a, you know, extra special bitter. Like, not many people are going to be like, oh, what's a CSB? I'll pick this up. Like, IPA is a thing. So,
well, I mean, IPA is basically like the Caucasian male's version of pumpkin spice.
That's fucking genius, dude.
You know, it's
IPA.
Except it's year-round.
Yeah. So it's the Dave Matthews of beer?
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, God. Don't say that. That's terrible.
But I mean...
You know, at least IPAs are fucking good,
dude. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
No, you're making
absolutely... Are we?
I am so pressured.
Hashtag no pressure.
I am so pressured to, like...
Well, have more
drink
beer.
Up. And drink
and,
up.
You know, I'm really...
No, you won't be pressured.
Because you guys are, like, so... Even when you're drunk, quite... on a...
No, we're not. No,
don't put us on any kind of intellectual, pedestal, please.
I do want to talk a little bit.
Because we'll fall that much further in an hour. Yeah. You'll be like, oh, God.
God, I have to keep up with these guys.
But no, you make a lot
strong.
Of sense. You make a lot of sense,
well,
and I think
I'm
there's a lot
done,
of room.
I'm almost done, so you got some catching up to do.
There's a lot of room for other cultures and other ideas, because, you know, you see things like before, when was the Krampus movie, the big Krampus movie, the guy that did Trick or Treat?
Mike Daltrey.
So his movie, before that, like, I heard... No, but what I'm saying is before his Krampus movie came out in theaters, mm-hmm. right? I remember hearing Kevin Smith on a podcast talk about how he was going to write a Krampus movie and Gene Simmons was interested in producing it, but then
Simmons.
I agree. But
what?
And then he was like, you know...
Seriously. Jordan, shut your mouth.
So, but my point is, I had never even heard of Krampus before, and now it's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and so I was ignorant to it. It's not like it didn't exist, but it just wasn't in the mainstream. It's very much in the mainstream right now, right?
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, there's so much rush for content, and the other thing is a lot of these ideas are archetypal. So Thor is an archetypal idea that, you know, goes back... hundreds and hundreds of years, and the same archetype occurs in all these different places and cultures because it's an archetype. So, I mean, at some point, it's like if somebody's going to complain that somebody in the Philippines is appropriating Norse mythology, it's like...
Well, my complaint was the hammer looked a little flat and tiny.
That's what she said. Come on, everyone.
Oh, my God. The artwork, and I said... It's like that, you know, and it's
because that's Hemsworth,
you know, and then I'm trying to look at his art. Yeah, he has a big flowing cape, but that's kind of like very not so.
He's got a little tack hammer.
But that's not an intellect's opinion.
So
I mean,
does not belong on this table, but...
I mean, what do you mean?
Everything belongs
on this table.
That was my... So, but it's not like you wouldn't
so
put it...
So your big criticism was
it,
the size of his
you
hammer.
You wouldn't put it on a English term paper. Mom, teacher, the hammer is...
Too small.
It looked...
Inadequate.
How is he going to hit someone?
If you use big words like inadequate, it sounds better.
But the teacher will go, this has nothing to do with the...
Because he's probably also inadequate.
Welcome to Drinking with Male Inadequacy. So, we've been...
Oh, shit. Wait, I'm on the wrong show.
That's all, you know.
I do want to... So, like, we've been, like, Facebook friends, so we kind of, like, send bacon back and forth across the world.
Wait, back up.
Kevin Bacon?
No, like maple
There's
bacon.
There's new Tremors coming
smoke
out.
Bacon.
Can we talk about that?
Wait.
New Tremors?
There's
yes.
New Tremors coming
also
out.
With Mr. Bacon, yes.
Yeah.
Wait.
Oh, he's back. Bacon's
yes.
back?
Oh, yeah.
That should be the tagline. Bacon is back.
You send bacon back and forth.
Yes, we have a
How
machine.
Does, you have a machine. That's, I don't understand. Is this like...
Sorry, I'm
she
burping.
Burped. It's a burp machine.
Is this
Sorry,
like
where are we?
Jeff Goldblum didn't get trapped in a teleporter with a piece of bacon and turned
no,
out to be
no,
like
we
a
make sure there's no
bacon.
Flies in the
Because I'll
teleporter.
Tell you right now, Jeff Goldblum, I'll find you and eat you.
We have so, we've done this.
Is,
we've sent bacon.
Is,
talking about some brindle bacon.
When is the new about. When is Tremors
brindle
come?
Bacon.
Where's the new when is the new Tremors?
You know what? Let's see. I'll science.
I saw that.
I'll science
I still want to know about this magic and
so she does. She does a charity
across.
Thing every year with the a hospital.
But doesn't bacon spoil?
No, not when you send it the way we do.
Oh shit! It already came out. May 1st, Tremors: A Cold Day in Hell.
There you go.
With Michael Gross came back.
Yes. The OG man.
Yeah.
Alex, I came home and there was a kangaroo in my living room.
Bert Gummer suspects that giant worms are being utilized as weapons at a research facility in Canada.
His name is Bert Gummers?
Oh, yeah. He soon finds himself in a race against time to create an antidote from one of the creature's venom to save his own life.
There you have it.
Produced by Kevin Bacon.
So, through sending this bacon across the multiverse to reach the Philippines in time for the packing party for the Christmas thing,
yeah,
I discovered this community of like cosplayers and fandom, and then just upon further exploration, like it's fervent over there.
Yeah,
like,
it's crazy. In fact, a bunch of it's so fun. Yeah, I mean they fight. I mean it's so huge, people. Fight, and it's almost like religion before.
Wait, what are they?
Geekdom. Geeky
oh,
things.
I think you meant over
so,
the bacon.
Well, also, no. There was enough. There was enough bacon, but it's, it can be pretty intense. It's, I don't know. I think
they're
it's the same
it's
way
like gangs.
Here.
It's like street gangs.
It's like
the cosplayers are like street gangs, but in con gangs.
Like
right? Am I wrong?
It's like the fucking warriors out there.
Sort of.
Like, I'm
yes.
Captain America. No, I'm Captain America.
Baseball team running around.
I don't think it's...
Not that bad.
Yes.
This is fascinating.
It depends. Yeah, it's it was quiet, and then one day we wake up, and there are just these conventions left and right. And I think my theory, it could be wrong, is that we're always stuck in traffic. And the beach is not as near as we want it to be in Metro Manila. You really have to drive out.
Sounds like Southern California.
We can't go on hikes. So what do we have? We have our Netflix and our movies. We get the Marvel stuff way before you guys do. And they
Rub
argue. And Star Wars, they fight about it.
What's an example of a fight over
lightsabers?
Just whether it was, you know, just... Basically, whether it was good or bad,
that's really silly because everybody knows that they're bad.
Yeah,
the Marvel movies
there you
are
go.
Great.
No,
Star Wars.
Those
the
are
new
pretty
Star
good
Wars.
Too.
See, so it's
those are
watching,
pretty good.
Except for the Last Jedi, I mean, that was
yeah,
iffy,
I think
but
terrible.
Solo was cool.
I'd even bother.
Are we acting like Manilans now? Huh?
So yeah, it's and the threads are really long. And
oh, it's on Facebook threads.
These are Facebook threads.
I think
and
that's kind of everywhere,
and,
though.
But I think so because when I was younger, it would be religion. Like my
well, but this is religion.
To a lot of people, it is.
There,
to a lot of people, it is.
Like I don't want to offend people, but if you remove, I'm not religious, right? Whatever makes
get
you,
out of town.
I know, right? Whatever makes you a better person, I'm fine. I have no problem against people that are religious, unless like they're using it to, you know, an
for
agenda
evil.
That hurt. Yeah, exactly. But
like Mike Pence,
those are stories, and
right.
it's a fandom in a way. The difference, you know, that no, Catholicism is right. No, I mean
right. It's. What it's like? What are you doing to my star? My Star Wars? Yeah.
See,
you
that's
know, like it's already like their own religion already
yeah,
takes a backseat.
Because
see, that's what maybe that would
my
help.
Marvel.
Maybe if Star Wars took a page out of Christianity, and just started little splinter Star Wars.
Don't say
everywhere.
That,
yeah,
like the Old
right,
Testament and the
right,
New Testament,
right.
Yeah.
And then born again Star Wars, not born again Star Wars.
Yeah.
I want to see the Mormon
I'm a born
Star
again
Wars.
Jedi.
Yeah, yeah,
Solo
yeah.
has like nine
Which is
wives.
Like, and the old Jedi
Three
will go like, "What's with this new born again
shit
thing?" So yeah, it's
what's it with this new born again Sith?
Yeah.
So wait, I want to segue, but I would like to come back to Elmer because Mike yes. told me about it. I didn't get a chance to read it, but I wanted to segue. We were talking about how these, you know, conventions just kind of sprang
they
up,
right? They just sprang up. I think somebody found a market, and you've got, around now they're having something called the Warner TV Expo, which is all the, like, the Warner
okay.
Heroes, and they have one-day event for that.
Is
and
Warner
have,
Brothers legitimately involved in it? Or
yeah,
they,
Warner
okay,
TV is a big part of it. Then you have AP, and then several times a year you have cosplay conventions.
So, and it brings a great many people in, right? And so
it,
there's
it
a,
does,
and you're going to see
so,
where I'm going with this in a
okay,
minute.
I'm watching.
So, you know, and I've never been to Comic-Con. I think I missed my window because it just seems like, you know, it's...
You've been to a Comic-Con.
I've never been to SDCC. And, I mean, unless, like, somebody shows up and is like, oh, we love your show. Here, you know, we're going to put you up and give you a per diem. It's probably just never going to happen. But that's fine.
Nobody's going to give you a per diem. I'll give you a ticket one day,
you know,
if you're lucky.
So Mike brought this up earlier.
I'll buy you a beer.
Well, that's
but
fine.
Not, but not at that one bar.
Well, this yeah. is where I'm going. This
okay,
is
go
I'm
ahead.
Going.
Yes,
oh,
go ahead.
So... So San Diego, like, this is a huge thing. You know, like they say,
there's
with retail,
hundreds of
year round retail, a lot of establishments count on Black Friday in order to go into the black. That's why it's called Black Friday, right? Lose money, boom. So I don't frequent San Diego. I've been there a couple times. It's been years. But you have all these people that come in, and like you said earlier, Mike, they bring money to spend. Like,
yeah.
People,
oh, yeah.
They save go up to Comic-Con, they pay for parking, they go to restaurants, they go out drinking.
Big economic boom.
The hotel,
it's huge,
right? And so now there's one bar, Mike told me about earlier.
What's the name of this? What's the name of this bar?
Smoking Gun SD.
The Smoking Cunts, is that the name of it?
The Smoking Gun. Oh,
Smoking Cunts. It's a bar in San Diego, and so their thing now, they're doing this geek.
They canceled it.
Well, but let's skewer them anyway.
Yeah, let's do it.
I love
skewering.
Geeks Be Gone, was that it?
Geeks Be Gone? What was it called?
It was called The Smoking Guns.
No, they had a flyer for this event.
Geeks Be Gone.
And it was basically them saying, like, you know, every year all these geeks come in and ruin our city, so we're going to take it back. They're not allowed at our little party. And it's like,
no cosplayers, no geeks.
So first of all, like, so are you not allowed to go out any other weekend? And like, I don't understand. They have the whole place year round. I mean, and secondly, it's like, how, like you said, like people come in with money to spend.
Yeah, turning down money.
And the other thing is, like, geek culture is world culture now.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, almost to a fault, in my opinion. But like these things, it's not like there's a niche where it's like, I hate those people that go see Marvel movies. Because guess what? Everybody goes to see.
Yeah, they're the number one movies the last several years. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I just find it so weird that this establishment would basically shoot themselves in the foot. It's like, whose idea was this? Like some guy that was
that's what
the captain of the football team in high school and just hates anybody that reads comics. And it's like, buddy, you probably watch a TV show that's based on a fucking comic book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know,
you know what? The owner's wife probably left him for a cosplay.
There you go.
That's what it was.
There you go.
He got fucking cuckolded by Deadpool.
I don't know, it's just really, really weird because it's one of the things about these conventions that they bring people together, but they also bring revenue. So
yeah, I mean, money's over everything, but yeah.
Money's money.
So, I don't know, # smoking gun
twat.
SD.
Fuck yourself, I don't know, whatever. I mean, really, there's plenty of other buyers that will welcome these
people spending
their money. Well,
I mean, that's the thing. A lot of my friends commented on that and said, oh, we should go there and drink water, or we should go there and split a bowl of potato chips or whatever. I was like, I don't
want
to be there. Like,
yeah, why would
there's so much magic.
I wouldn't even
want
to do that.
And since I've been going to Comic-Con, which my first one was in 1998, and like I went out, like you go to the show and you get all the books you want, and you get all, you know, and that's fun. Then you go out into the city, and the entire city, like you can, when else in your life, except for that week, can you look and say, oh, so what shows do you watch? Or, you know, like, and you can instantly make a connection with almost anybody in the room. Like, the world would be such a better place if everybody was just a fan of something. You know what I mean?
Hey, here's a...
Except, I guess, maybe lately, the way fans are acting.
Yeah, but
here's... But back when I was a kid...
Here's a great idea I have, just because my devil horns are popping out right now. Look up... I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be responsible for this, but anybody watching, look up the telephone number for that establishment. The day of that weekend, go on to Craigslist... Put out an advert that says, free hot tub. Have to move. Free to the first person who takes it. Call me. And put their number. Their phone will be ringing off the hook for days.
What about free blowjobs?
Is that the law?
I don't think you can do that on Craigslist anymore.
It's the internet. Oh. Oh, you can't do
that. Everybody wants a free hot tub.
No, right? I think you can't sell blowjobs, but you can give them away.
I mean, if someone's just going to give it away, like... There's something fishy about that.
Jordan, please strike that from the record. So wait, do it. I endorse that.
Selling
endorse
it is prostitution. Yeah. Giving away is charity.
Unless it's being filmed.
No, then that's pornography.
Yeah, which is legal.
No, it's, unless you broadcast it, then it's anyway.
Is it?
So you can't, I don't know. We're learning about laws.
I don't know.
Karen, let's talk about.
Welcome, new friend.
That's a great segue. No, that's basically pornography. So
we could actually,
Elmer,
we could go to Elmer, or we could go to religion and Marvel.
Let's not go.
We could just go anywhere but here.
But talk about Elmer.
Elmer is Jerry's book. It is a window into an alternate Earth where chickens have suddenly acquired the intelligence and consciousness of humans.
Stop. I'm sold. I'm ordering this tonight. I don't even want to know anymore. Does anybody even need to hear anything
else?
Let's
hear the rest. Let's hear the rest.
Chickens?
Where they consider themselves a race no different from whites, browns, or blacks, recognizing themselves to be sentient, the inexplicably evolved chickens push to attain rights for themselves as the newest members of the human race. Elmer tells the story of a family of chickens who lives and struggles to survive in a suddenly complicated, dangerous, yet beautiful world. And this has won a prize in France.
Prima
Nocta.
Wait, you're deferring to him for pronunciation?
Yes.
No,
oh,
I got this.
Fuck this weekend, I gotta tell you.
It won the Prix Assez de la Critique, and it was nominated for the Eisner, which is like the creme de la creme.
Mm-hmm.
Of American awards, of French awards. Creme de, notice I used a French term.
Yeah, I did catch
I'm
that.
I'm so sorry. I had to read the back.
No, it's
Jerry.
Good.
I'm going to do for
like, yes.
He might watch this, but... No, and she sent... And it's personalized. Look, he sent me the... Hey, Mike Wellman. Thanks, man.
Dude, he drew a big cock.
It's an adequate cock.
If anybody
let's
can
just,
see
let's
that.
Just say it's adequate.
It's an adequate... Dude, that is an adequate cock.
We should show it.
Oh, you want to show it?
No,
it?
You don't want to see this.
No, the one in the book or the other one?
Oh, my God.
Take a picture of it with your phone and send it to me. That's not going to come out.
Oh, did I tell you about... You want a dick pic?
The one...
You know, after 42 episodes, you'd think I'd fucking learn the trigger words of him, right?
Did ever tell you about the time Nathan Fillion saw my penis?
No.
You told me.
But somebody just left.
At Con Man, yeah?
Yeah, it was on Con Man.
Yeah.
So, this is back in my Tindering days. And
which
I don't send these unsolicited, right? But I'm in the morning before I go to set, and I met a new Tinder, and she's like, oh, show me your dick.
Set of Con Man Season 2, by the way.
Season 2, yeah. So, like, the last thing I do before I go to set is in the morning's
like
the best time.
Like
it's like
you
the
do.
Rising,
like
also
you
the
do,
rising
you
sun.
Know?
He's and I go to
shoes,
set.
Shoes tied. I got my wallet. My
keys.
Don't
take any, you're not allowed to take pictures on set.
Cell phone. Okay, cool.
It wasn't Nathan Fillion who saw it, but I was in a picture with Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk, and the producer was your friends with
PJ
Sharma.
Harmasaw.
Harmasaw. So like, I'm there, Alan. Do you still like me a little bit? All right. Anyway, so I'm there, and I have a photo op with Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, PJ, will you take my picture? And so I give him my phone, and he's like, takes the picture. So let me just show you. You won't
no,
see the dick.
No,
pic.
No,
you're
not just
going to
show
but,
me.
Oh my! So basically, when you take a picture, the last picture you took is over here in a little tiny box.
So,
so he
saw
takes
your
my
little
picture.
Tiny dick in the corner?
I mean, it was big, but it was small.
It was,
it was
small at the time.
And I didn't even think
cold.
About it, but like, so he takes the
dead
picture.
Winter.
And I shake his hand. I'm like, thanks, dude. And he's like, and he just gives me the phone like this. I'm like, that was weird.
Wipe
he was
his
so
hand
nice.
Out of his jeans.
So then I look, I'm like, oh, shit, that's right. Fuck. So anyway, that was 3 years ago.
Did you know, did you ever watch the show Castle?
No.
There's an episode of Castle.
Nathan Fillion's.
Where somebody
broker.
Hands Castle the phone, and there's this whole thing that comes out because the guy's dick was on the phone. And dude,
on Castle,
he totally wrote that about you.
I think
Nathan Fillion might owe you some royalties, my friend.
I think he owes me. Yeah, I'm gonna hit up PJ about that.
Wow.
Anyway,
so
sorry.
I'm gonna totally go 180.
Thank you. Thank you. 360. God bless you.
Yeah, let's talk about some. I want to say,
David Lucarelli, he was on last time. Tinseltown's going. The second issue was great, really great. But Kirsten and I went to see Dr. Zama's Ghost Show of Terror.
You did,
and it was fucking awesome. And I know, like you were busy, and like
so
we were gonna
busy,
do,
yeah.
We were gonna do a bus thing. It didn't happen. Nope. It's coming back in October.
No,
oh, cool.
No,
that's
no,
even
no,
better.
No, real quick for the people who didn't watch last episode or who haven't seen it, can you give a little summary of what exactly it is?
So David was saying, so apparently there used to be these things called ghost shows in like the 50s in Hollywood, where it would be like seances and like different. You orchestrate kind of these different scenarios and interactive, you know, with the audience, and then it would usually culminate with this like blackout segment and where there were supposed to be ghosts present or whatever. And mm-hmm. he had found a book outlining this. I forget what the book was or who the author was. And he's like, you know, I would like to see that. That's a shame that, that nobody does that anymore. It's a kind of, nobody's even really heard of it. And he's like, well, I guess maybe if I want to see it bad enough, I'll just do it. So he put this on and he did it as part of Fringe Fest. And it was really good. They sold out 4 or 5 nights. And so it's coming back in October. And it's well worth your time. It's 45 minutes long. I was literally like, dude, did we get the 10-minute version? Like, what's going on? It went by super fast. I was very engaged, very interactive, and just funny as hell. It was really good.
That's basically like a live action. As you said, back in the 50s, they would do these things. I think a lot of that comes from the old William Castle films from the 50s.
Oh, and they put the tinglers in the seats and stuff?
The tinglers in the seats with the smell-o-vision. Yes. All the kind of little
YouTube
gimmicks
I don't know, actually.
I can ask David if he has video or something.
David, if you happen to be watching, which you were here on the last episode, so I'm
really
sure you're not. But if you happen to be watching, if you could throw like up a link on the Facebook, that'd be amazing.
I think he's learned his lesson.
Yeah, I think he has too, but it's worth your time. It was really cool. So, and I think you're totally right. It's like bringing the audience. And it was a small.
It's engaging.
Yes,
it's what it is.
It was kind of an intimate experience, and it was very, very cool. So I wanted to bring that up. Let's go down the line. Like, who wants to talk about what?
Chris, let's see. Well, you know, let's touch on this one right here. It's right on top.
So.
Be nice.
So Mike was kind enough to toss this into our poll just yesterday. We read it today. It's the new Robert Kirkman, from The Walking Dead,
and Chris fucking Burnham too.
And it was a surprise release, by the way. We did not order this book.
Well, so it didn't get announced. They actually matched our orders
with Oblivion Song and sent us 50 copies because that's what
we
ordered.
It's called Die Die Die. And I should also mention that it's co-written. I want to say it's co-written because inside it just says credited as co-pilot.
He says it's an idea that him, Scott Gimple, and Chris Burnham came up with.
Scott Gimple.
Mm-hmm. Now I know this is a point of contention.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Big point. Scott Gimple is the dumb fuck who ruined the Walking Dead TV series.
I would counter that the Walking Dead TV series has been shite from almost the beginning, from about the seventh episode of the first season. So,
I mean, after...
there were only 6 in the first season.
Whatever. So there you
after,
go.
After Frank Darabont...
But, yeah,
Frank,
the
Frank
seventh
Darabont,
is...
Frank Darabont absolutely. Is a national treasure, season and the first season of The Walking Dead is one of the best seasons.
I thought the last 2 episodes blew, and that was where I lost my...
That's where it got interesting, because that's where it diverted.
I didn't like the one Kirkman wrote with the gangs.
I thought that was amazing. Oh, I thought that was the best that show ever was.
Which gangs?
The one where they're
like
in
a
the
gangs
old folks
episode?
Home?
Yeah, where they... I mean, and
I think it was episode 5.
There are
5,
many gangs.
I thought that was fantastic.
The one in the first season in the old where they find all the gangs who stole their shit.
Oh,
they got to get it back.
Okay,
it turns out they were the orderlies in the old folks home. Great
writing. Yes. And then, they needed
and a good way to deviate from the comic book
exactly,
too, right?
Exactly. Like, but so Scott Gimple, he is, I want to say, the third showrunner who took over, and he's just a fucking piece of shit.
Would you say something about Inspector Gadget or something?
That's okay. Basically, the last couple seasons of The Walking Dead have devolved into this: we're going to war with somebody soon, and it's like fucking 5 episodes of people standing around saying, "I'm going to get them." And then finally, it would culminate.
12 episodes later, they're still doing 18.
Exactly,
episodes,
and then like they'd finally meet, they'd shoot a bunch of bullets. Everyone would fucking miss for whatever reason, and then they'd say, "I'll get you next time, Gadget."
Next time, Gadget. Next time.
And that's what The Walking Dead is now, and it's fucking pure shit because of Scott Gimple.
They didn't get each other yet, right?
No.
After how many years?
Fuck no, they haven't.
Two years. I gave it up, but I know that they haven't got each other.
It's complete fucking bullshit. You know, at this point, I'm only like watching the show. Just
are you
because
still
of,
watching?
I'm
just
only
to have
watching
something
it
to bitch about.
Just because. Oh, well, if it's any if it's any consolation, I'm not paying to watch it, so fuck them. But I just at this point I've invested so much time, I got to see it through and see how they fuck
see,
up the
you
whole.
You see it up to the end.
Exactly. You know, it's written by Robert Kirkman, who's great, and Scott Gimple, who can just fuck right off.
He's not.
I mean, I'm gonna say one thing though, like. I don't have a horse in this race because I don't like the show, so I don't watch it. Everybody's heard my spiel. It's been my favorite comic for 15 years.
Scott Gimple wrote Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance.
He did.
The film.
It's pretty bad.
And it was directed by some amazing directors, too.
Awesome.
But
Jordan,
shut up, Jordan. Nobody asked you.
So at any rate, but this I thought, so it's fantastic. And let me just, I'm gonna read something.
Ooh, we're gonna
first of all, if you,
point here.
Mike gave me this book, and
well, I sold it to you. June's watching.
Yes, I paid for it.
Oh no, he's not.
You
he's
did
not.
Actually.
So. If you had given me like a blind taste test of this book, where I didn't know
who it was,
I would know it was Chris Burnham because I'm a huge fan. But also, I would never have guessed that it was Kirkman. It feels very British to me, mm-hmm. And there's this like it's not just there's something about the meter of the story. There's a sequence,
the tambour, if you will.
There's a sequence of
Jeffrey.
There's a sequence in here where it reminds me in Shaun of the Dead. There's a whole sequence where it's like Shaun's mapping out what they're going to do, and everything revolves to them coming back to the Winchester and cling, you know.
Yeah.
And then as they keep, oh, but we have to figure out, so they keep extrapolating, and it's the same images over and over again. There's a sequence in here like that.
They go over possible
where they're
scenarios.
Like, well, we're going to kill this person. So the premise of the book is basically like, here, there's a page where they say this, and I thought it was very, very, like, we don't like to admit it, but this is an evil world where evil people do evil shit all the time. Thankfully, there's a secret cabal within the United States government that works outside our normal system to influence world matters. Through targeted assassination, the world around us is manipulated right under our noses, mostly for the better, sometimes for individual gain. So if you're hurting people, somehow making the world worse than it already is, or even just standing in the way of something good happening, someone right now could be giving the order for you to die. So it's this, they send these, like, this person's terrible, kill them, the world will be better. But there's a sequence where, I think it's supposed to be the prime minister, and she's, like, snorting these Aussie-sized lines of coke and basically saying, like, well, I know I need this person to die, but if you just kill him, he'll be a martyr. So then we have to figure out, okay, well, if we kill the person to take care of his mother, because that person's not a bad person. So then, and she keeps extrapolating back and back and reminding me of the Shaun of the Dead sequence.
I mean, for me, I think this is just a fucking piece of garbage.
Really?
Yeah.
I love it, man. I really
here's
love it.
Okay, here's why. It feels like it's Robert Kirkman and Scott Gimple trying to basically pull like an Ennis or a fucking Mark Millar.
It feels like Warren Ellis to me. The Millar I could tell.
I mean, I was gonna say it feels very like Ennis to me in a sense of like Jimmy's Bastards, where they're just trying to go over the top to go over the top.
I don't think it's that over the top though.
There's a lot of shit in this that reminds
me of Jimmy's Bastards. I know a nose.
There's
gets
a lot
cut
of
off,
there's a lot of stuff in here that reminds me of The Boys. You know, just their whole organization.
We'll see. I mean, it's a valid criticism. I don't see it. I'm but also I think I read it before. He was like, oh, Scott Gimple, blah blah blah, and I'm like, I don't know who the fuck Scott Gimple is. I don't care.
I showed her, I mean, I like Robert Kirkman, so the other night I was like, oh, so we can talk about some comics. Maybe you read this. And literally, I was like, I'm not interested.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Gimple.
He's watching. You know, he watches our show regularly,
I'm
right?
So sorry.
I would say this. Karen,
he has feelings too, you know.
If you get a chance, read it and then like post something.
Aren't you intrigued now to check it out?
Yes. Well, since there's two different opinions on it, although maybe the cover, if it was something different, because it looks like another Walking Dead. Is the cover.
I don't think it does at all. It reminds
me. Yeah, it's like there's blood.
Chris Burnham, Chris Burnham did, he did Batman Inc. and some of the Batman and Robin with Grant Morrison, which to me is like, I don't read Batman on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. That stuff is gold. But he did Nameless with Grant Morrison, which is one of the best series. It blew my mind. And his art is so bloody and just horrific in this really,
you know, I mean,
but you know, it just makes me think it's like another Walking Dead type title, but the
it's
cover
not.
Does that's what it I mean, did for me.
Okay,
in which
it's,
case
it's totally not.
I mean,
yeah, in which case maybe they should have made this confused.
Here, check this out. Look at our three covers and let's read yours and I'll read.
It's true.
Each cover is different. They said this would be an easy one.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, they said messy, and then she's not saying. And yours, you
mine
got the
says,
best one.
I'm Paul. I'm Nate. I'm drunk.
Yeah, that one would have.
And then what's yours say, Sean?
Mine says, who's next? There's no one left. And then she doesn't have a word bubble.
Yeah, no, it's the only time.
Yeah, that one.
But
I
she's
think
drinking Johnny Walker Black.
Yeah.
And in the comic, she's the one doing the Aussie lines. So
There you go. So there's 11 different front covers.
That's a good fucking Kirkman cash grab.
I liked it, so I definitely. But
I mean, so what we're gonna do is next week we'll post a picture of Karen on our Facebook page and say, "Come back to Drinking with Comics, see what Karen thought about it after she reads it, and then she'll have to fly back and tell people what she thought."
Or shoot a video on the phone and.
Don't make it so easy on yourself.
Well, Karen, you know this won't be edited for at least a week. So if you read it, send me if you do a video on your phone like I hated it, fuck you, or like I loved it, send it to me and I'll put it. So you know,
and if you do hate it, you must say fuck you.
Yeah,
Sean.
You should.
And then, yeah, I know. I feel bad. I haven't said fuck you to some artist or writer or something.
I know you're really
ruining something for me.
Here. Drink up, maybe you will.
I don't know yet.
Tell us what you think of Alex Ross.
Uh-oh. Okay.
You had this moment where you opened
nice
your mouth and
art.
Nothing. You were like,
"Nice art," but then I heard a story.
Gorgeous man.
Was the
Gentle
story from
lover.
Mike?
Yes.
Oh jeez.
I heard the
Alex
story
Ross,
from Mike.
Alex Ross, you have
Mike.
A nemesis, my friend.
And then
tiny penis.
And
inadequate.
Tiny, inadequate hammer.
It's a new era. Inadequate.
Yeah. It's a long story.
Well, apparently it's not. It's a short story.
Hey-o.
So yeah, it's
Do another one.
Actually, real fast, I want to segue into something. Just now, you're talking about Batman Inc. and those kind of things. Well, we finally got Sean to read.
Oh, Long Halloween.
Batman, the Long Halloween, which he refused to read for the longest time
everything I read that Jeff Loeb did sucked so bad. I was constantly, why is everybody? Oh, it's awesome.
And this was one of the ones where we had to convince you.
It was great.
Like, you need to read this.
Yeah, it was great. It was really, really finally great. It's like that thing where, like, I don't know if you know anybody born in, like, after, like, let's say the late 90s up, which you do. I mean, everybody does, right? But, like, I've had these moments where I'm like, Eddie Murphy used to be really funny. And people look at me and they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, no, Eddie Murphy was, he was like
Eddie
a comedian.
Murphy was
he
one
was
of my
funny.
Favorite guys.
Those
yeah.
are
and
people
always
who've
like,
never
what?
Seen Golden Child.
I've actually never seen that.
Holy shit.
But, I mean.
Gold Child's tight, dude.
Fuck yeah, it is.
There's a moment.
I want the knife.
There's a moment where some things
you know
just
mean.
Become bad. You know, I mean, I remember one night on Henry Rollins' radio show, I heard something. I was like, what is that? And he's like, that was Bachman Turner Overdrive. I'm like, are you fucking serious? They were good?
Oh.
What?
Are you,
the taking care
are you
of
insinuating
band?
That they're not?
Yeah, I am. So, but you know, I mean, there's a jumping the shark point or whatever. So, anyway, I'm sorry. Continue. But so, Long Halloween. I thought it was great. Clearly, it was before he went all taking care of business.
I mean, great art, great story.
And it's
a
story.
That's the best part.
It's exactly
that's
how
my
you
favorite
it
thing
me.
About it is that it's Batman being a fucking detective.
Yeah.
You know, he's not just running around fucking punching people and, getting all broody and left at the altar. You know, it's...
By the
it's,
way, I just want to say, he left her, too.
Wait, we're going to have to
talk
sure about that.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
No, there's like... He has no idea that he was left.
That is rubbish, dude. He's straight standing there. He's like, oh, well, it's been about an hour. Time to fucking go home.
Wait, okay,
now,
so we're going to segue
money.
Now. So Long Halloween, thumbs up. So for anybody that doesn't know...
Batman 50 came out.
Which is almost impossible to me that Batman 50... It's been going for like 50 years. So they
80
do
years.
One,
80
I
years.
Mean,
Rebirth?
Is that what
Rebirth,
it was?
Yeah.
Which what did they put out? What two a month? Of that?
2 a month, yeah. Bi-weekly.
So the big thing Cash that DC
they built
was
up
like, oh
a
my god,
thing,
you're cordially invited to Bruce Wayne's gonna so was
they
it
hype the fuck
was
out
it Bruce
of
Wayne marrying
Selina Kyle
or
no,
was it
Batman
marrying Catwoman?
Has nobody seen Smokey and the Bandit 1 and 2?
Not since I was a kid.
Like people get left at the altar. Like I've done it 6 times already.
The leaving.
Legend has it
left.
They're still waiting to this day.
There's just some church in Vegas where there's like a skeleton in a wedding dress.
There's a story there.
What?
There's a story that can be told.
Yes.
Ooh, Tim Burton, that's a freebie. Make that movie. Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh my
saying.
No, no, no.
I'm just saying.
Danny DeVito in a 3 foot high top hat.
This is Johnny.
I'm not
dissing him. I'm dissing Tim Burton. Anyway,
I love Tim Burton.
Fuck
off.
Him. Fuck him.
It's about time we got to do another movie together, though.
It is.
No, it's not. Never
again. Okay.
Aren't they doing Dumbo together?
No, he's with Ava.
No, he's doing Dumbo.
With Ava Green. That's his new...
No, it's
that's
not.
That's his new, like, star. That's his
news.
No, wait, he's not, he is not hitting that. No way.
So
no, no, he's making movies with her.
With
oh, yeah.
Ava Green.
Yeah.
So
he needs some gorgeous news.
Batman did not... So the big hype that they were going to get married, and they did not... Spoilers, they did not get married.
So it's a lot of retailers are upset because...
It was spoiled.
I didn't buy into it, but, like... Well, so when New companies York, do a major
York,
thing, they're
New
like...
New York Post spoiled it.
No, but like 3 months ago, DC hits us up. Hey, so Batman's getting married in Batman number 50.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to do your own store exclusive variant? Here's a list of artists you could choose from to do a variant. And we've done some variants, and some have been really good for us, some not. And I was like, I don't think people... Like, even if they did get married, I didn't think people would really care enough to for us to order 3,000 copies.
Yeah,
which
that,
is
that,
the minimum.
That's the minimum.
That's the minimum you have to order.
3,000 copies?
Of a book, yeah.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, $5 book.
Yeah.
3,000 copies.
And so whenever we do a variant, we do minimum 3,000 copies.
3,000 copies?
Yes. Yeah. Ballers. So we passed on it, but a lot of shops like Midtown and, I don't know, Golden Apple or whoever, they're like, yeah, we want our own, like, Jim Lee cover or whatever.
Because, I mean, because DC was hyping
so they buy it. And then the thing that they said is going to happen in the book didn't happen.
Well, not just that, but here's the thing: is that all the stores bought it,
yeah.
And then New York Times or New York Post, I forget which,
like a couple days like, before the book comes
yeah,
out,
they
says, "Oh, they don't really get married."
And said that they don't really get married. So,
well, they spoiled it in conjunction with DC Comics, who like said to like it wasn't like, you know, it was they got an advanced copy. No, DC actually leaked the fact that they don't get married.
Why
so
the
night
fuck
the
would
book comes
that?
Out, like these. Stores that ordered 3,000
copies. Yeah, so a bunch
copies.
Of people who were pissed off who wanted to wow. get it to see what happens. Well, I know. I don't need it now.
I still bought it the same way I would if they were getting married or not.
To use as toilet paper?
No. No, the Batman comic is really, really good. Tom King's Batman run is one of the best things going
yeah,
on.
There is one awesome. Great scene in there where I believe it's, you know, was it Alfred who says to Bruce Wayne, you know, do you want to get a hold of... you know, Clark, to have him come be your best man, and he's like, well, why? You know, you've always been there for me, you know, you're my best man, kind of thing. And he's, like, saying that nonchalantly, like, reading, like, a magazine or something, and looks over, and Alfred just comes up and just hugs him. It's a really cool,
it's
really
a good book.
Tender
I mean, it's
moment.
Well written.
But that aside, fuck off.
You know?
Well, and so, you're right. The book, it's not the book's fault that DC made this hype machine thing about it.
It's
so.
The book's right. fault that's that the fucking book got made.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Well, I mean...
That's why I let it into Catwoman 1.
Yeah, and that was good, too. So, anyway, but I didn't order 3,000 copies, so I can sit here and say that.
Do you have to order 3,000 copies of everything?
If we want our own cover, yeah. Like
want a store exclusive.
Yeah, if we like Black Panther, we ordered 3,000. Guardians, we ordered 3,000.
And those
Spider-Gwen.
Those probably sold and nobody was pissed, right?
Just tape a piece of paper to the front and make your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll go over well. That'll CGC really well.
Yeah.
The thing is, all right. So the trick is, like, you order 3,000, you pay the actual 50% of the $4 cover. You pay $2 a copy. So 3,000 times 2 is $6,000.
But can you send them? Can you send them?
So
back?
Then you sell as many as you can for $20, and hopefully you sell $6,000 worth.
Wait, they were $20 a copy?
No, we sold ours for like $20. Like, we're not going to sell all 3,000, but we sell as many as we can for 20, and then we just burn the rest.
You literally burn them?
That's how I heat my house in the winter, dude.
It's true. I've seen it.
So you can't even, you know, because with like novel, like with books, the way
right.
publishers work, like having, you know, overseen inventory at a major book chain years ago. The new fucking Tom Clancy comes out. You order however many hundreds of copies, and whatever doesn't sell, so
you
send back, and you get a percentage back.
A lot of comics aren't returnable.
No, comics aren't returnable.
Dude,
the way the direct market
works... It's
really
easy to just write return the sender on the
box. Do you guys want to get super geeky, or... we can get... You want
let's hear it.
All right, so what happened was, in the 1970s, there was the newsstand
really
market. So newsstands, as they exist today, is like, yeah, that they just... provide you what they think will sell. Whatever doesn't sell, you rip the covers off, you send them back.
Like a paperback.
Yeah. So then comic shops open, and they're like, well, we will order, you know, from the comic publishers, but we want a bigger discount so we can sustain. And so the compromise was, we'll give you a bigger discount, but the books cannot be returnable. can't like order 300 copies of something, sell 50 of them, and then send me 250 back. So we gave up the returnability aspect of, of things. So, and that was in the late 70s. And so ever since then, to this very day, like whatever we order what we think we can sell.
That's, well, that's good. Good. I mean, good on you for not swallowing the bullshit, dude. That's crazy.
And every once in a while, like if a publisher believes in something that, taste the bullshit that we don't believe in, they'll be like, we'll make this book fully returnable. So
You spit.
Nope. I learned something new.
Thank God. Thank God you're walking away from this show with something.
Yeah. It's.
Can I do
You want to touch it and feel or something?
No. I was going to talk about a comic.
Oh, okay.
I know that's revolutionary. Real quick. So, Holly Interlandi and Sally Cantarino. It's probably way easier to pronounce those names, but I'm a little bit drunk. Last Song number 2 came out from Black Mass.
That's a big book.
Finally.
So they're doing this, like, it's every quarter, but it's 60 pages, black and white, so good. It reminds me a little bit of Teenagers from Mars.
And we don't care.
It's just such a good book, and it's just, it's, so Holly Interlandi, the writer, talks about, and I think it must be in the first issue, how she originally wrote this as a novel 15 years ago, and now it's being, you know, turned into this comic, and it's black and white, it's gorgeous. And she talks about how, you know, rock and roll, when it gets into comics, it usually is like rock and roll. I mean, she points out rock and roll Jesus, or punk rock Jesus is the best, and I agree, but
it is good.
But she points out usually rock and roll is in conjunction with something like
Punk's
rock
not dead?
Well, okay.
What's a suspect?
I have that here as well. But it's rock and roll is usually, but it's an example of it. Rock and roll is usually not enough. It's usually rock and roll, but like Extra Dimensional Demon is writing the song. Well, or
you,
rock and roll.
I mean,
this,
you kind of have to, because, you know, audio doesn't translate.
This book doesn't
do
that. It's just about this band that like forms in the early 80s,
with
and they kind
of
come of age.
Scott Pilgrim.
That's true.
I love
Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous book. It's wonderful, and the second issue is better than the first, and I really, really like it. I had been waiting for it. When you had a panel here for She Draws Comics, and you played the documentary, Holly and Sally were here on the panel, and they talked about this book, and so I was
like
waiting
four
for
years
it.
Ago.
I was waiting for it for years,
I
and
had
it finally came
signing.
Out, and you should.
You should have reminded me.
It's really, really good. I really like the book.
Wait,
so.
I'm assuming this is a 90s set. 90s set in the 90s.
It actually starts like in the 80s, and then it's starting to crest into the 90s. So it's very, very good. I think it's very good. It's about people, their relationships. I think it's ultimately a love story, but it's about this band, and I mean it's very, very cool. So
and how many? This is number two.
Number two. Look at I just did this. Number two. Okay. It's number two, and
I think there's only
German
two issues, right?
Yeah. German number three. But it's great, so I wanted to talk about
it. I think we have it here if you
You know. Do? That's, well, yeah, where else would I get it?
Well, I mean that I think we still have it here, though. I mean,
that's where they had my 4, 5, and 6 Imaginary Fiends.
Why don't you talk about...
Actually, you know, this is one I wanted to touch on real fast. The new Mark Millar book, Magic Order.
Let's hear it.
Mm-hmm. I fucking loved it, to be honest with you. This, I mean, first of all, like, this... The cover alone kind of set me. You know, I like that weird kind of magic bullshit, you know.
That's actually, did you see the pitch they did? It was like weird kind of
weird
magic
kind of
bullshit.
Magic bullshit, yeah.
Yeah.
Sold.
To Netflix.
Yeah.
Fun fact, this is actually the first
yes.
comic that Netflix has put out under the Image moniker.
Look on
in
the
fact,
back cover.
If you look actually inside, what's that?
Look on the back cover.
Wait, are they?
Oh no, I know.
The series is coming out at the same time as the book.
Yeah,
you know,
well, what they're doing?
No,
no, no,
no.
Yet. It's not yet. But this is coming out on Netflix as their first, basically motion comic series.
Oh, so there's not going to be a live action show?
No. It's
motion comics are the worst, by the way. But anyway,
no,
go ahead.
Not necessarily. Basically, I mean, there's
so it's
it
like
plays
you're,
it plays out like
an audiobook.
Like it plays
and
out
you're
like,
not touching
more
it
more like a radio.
Sorry.
More like a radio drama. You know, it has sound effects and a score behind it, but there's no dialogue. It still
so
has
it's,
all the bubbles
it was,
and all that
it's,
kind
it's
of stuff.
Out there now.
No, it's not. Not yet. I mean, it straight says, you know, copyright, you know, Netflix. studios on the inside and all that.
Well, he's got
to
deal with them. All his books are like Netflix co-productions.
I want to say it was like 8 or 9 books. Not all of them, but like he did. I mean, he did a huge deal with them. But it's a really, really interesting story. It's a story about.
He's here somewhere. Sorry.
What? What?
No, no, you.
What? What?
Your dead. Camera died.
Okay. I thought the Infinity Gauntlet was.
Do you want to? Do you want to grab mine? Mine's right here in the case. If you want to switch, I can try. You can talk. It's fine. I'm already talking. This is gonna get edited.
Dude, we totally ruined Raphael's date, by the way, with our nerd talk.
Ruined it? Oh no! In this case.
Oh, the battery. It's a battery.
Oh, it's the battery.
Battery.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What am I looking for, guys?
Raphael, the little. Yeah, yeah.
Like ruined or made better?
Don't worry, Raph. Jordan's still here.
Do you want my camera or do you want a battery?
Oh.
No, sorry. Flip open that steel box.
The steel box.
The steel box.
Yeah. Red camera right there inside.
Ah, red camera.
You get my text.
Well, it's not just for the camera. It's for a lot of things. And then pass that over.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Raphael.
Thank you.
Welcome. Drink up. I don't want to bring any of those beers home. Please.
You
want
a beer?
Plow through them.
The apple pie.
It's like poofy.
Plow through his apple pie.
It's not bad. It's just not my thing.
It's like ginger ale for
right? There's a little wheel
ginger
on the bottom.
Ginger ale for novices.
You just spin the wheel.
It's not even as hardcore.
You should open a soft
ale,
drink
you?
Company, my
Dude,
friend.
That stuff is like, it's like.
Are we still rolling?
We're still live, but we're switching cameras real fast.
All right. So this will be an outtake.
On battery?
Yeah. Well, we should wrap up soon. Anyway.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
So wait, we keep talking about Magic Order.
Well, I mean, yes, you have the one camera. Okay. So Magic Order is the new Mark Millar book. It basically tells the story of a family. A family of, I don't. Did they even describe say what they actually are? Magicians? I mean, what
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, I don't. Well, we were drinking when I... And you brought that goddamn giant can of 9.5% alcohol beer, so...
Oh, is that when y'all had your pre-game?
Yeah, you missed
it. It is an awesome book.
Anybody
it's a lot of fun. It's very blatantly Mark Millar.
It's very blatantly Mark Millar.
But, I mean, but it's actually... It's good Mark Millar, which is nice. It seems to be like return to form in a lot of ways.
Well, I think his form is making money, so I don't know that. I mean,
no, I mean, he has his highs and he has his lows, and I think this is definitely a high, you know, over the last couple of years here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you said so. We did our pre thing the other night, and you
tell me what I said.
You said you read 4 pages, and you're like, "Well, I'm sold."
Yeah, yeah, that's true. The first 4 pages in, I was sold on it.
I remember
he never read another page.
I remember thinking, I'm curious.
I thought, good enough.
You know, I was curious enough because, like, Mike had actually put this in my poll, and I had like, I'll pass. I like some of Millar's stuff. I don't like other stuff. But this book, when Chris passed it to me, I hit page 4. I was like, I'm sold.
Yeah,
page.
Speaking of which, add this to my poll later.
You can't tell me to do shit when I'm drunk, guys.
No, that's the best
time. This is why shit doesn't. Like, I told you to add this to my poll. Like, well, yeah, after like 4 beers,
I'll follow you over there. I'll make sure it happens.
Tell
Thank
Joe.
You.
Why didn't I get number 2? Like, I don't know, because you told me after the episode of drinking.
No, that's fucking rubbish, dude. I saw my shit written down after number 1. It was in the book. It was in the book.
All right.
Okay.
I'm just telling you how
to
handle me.
Good book. Check it out. Magic Order. It's going to be on Netflix. Check out the book too.
Do like a so. Where are we at? We will stop soon. So
yeah, we gotta stop soon.
Go through Imaginary Friends and her
fiends.
Infernal Fiends.
Can we?
Sorry.
Imaginary Fiends. So there's 2 more I wanted to talk about. One is Imaginary Fiends from Vertigo, and this just has a great premise. I think. Basically, when kids have imaginary friends, you know, their little buddies that, you know, come play with them and all that kind of shit, there's basically the exact opposite of that as well, which are the imaginary fiends, that are basically these monsters who attach themselves onto these kids. And the only way that they exist is they thrive off of their attention. And they can get very... jealous and very violent and lash out when they don't get it. So this story tells the it tells about this girl, where her imaginary fiend, basically when she was a little kid, ended up killing. Was it?
It had her. So the main character. I'm blanking on her name.
I read this a few months ago.
She basically killed her best friend. She stabbed her to death. Killed her best friend. Yeah. And it was in her defense. You know, it sets this up where it's like she kills her best friend, and then like the brother finds a body or whatever, and then her defense was, well, my imaginary friend made me do it. Mm-hmm. And so then years later, this girl that killed her friend is in an insane asylum, and an FBI agent shows up and says, I need you to be on my team because like this is a thing, and I know you can see them. Like, mm-hmm. we believe you. I can't tell the world that you're innocent, yeah. but if you come and work for us because I know you can see these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically, the whole premise is that, you know, yeah, this girl is now working for the FBI, and she calls back now, you know, as an adult, her imaginary fiend, and just basically says, look, here's the deal. I'm going to give you the attention that you need in order to survive. But you got to play by my rules this time. You have to survive. You have to do what I say. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to cut you off again. And, and then they basically go off and work for the FBI to take down other imaginary fiends.
And it becomes kind of like an X-Files thing where it's like the seasoned, you know, FBI agent, and then this girl that's only an agent because she can see them, and mm-hmm. then her imaginary fiend, right? And the senior agent can't see the fiend, but he knows that it's there.
You know, there's a good
Polly Peach Pit. But there's a great moment in the second issue where the girl who has this imaginary fiend, so now she's an FBI agent. They go to this town in Ohio where this kid disappeared, and they know that it's the work of a fiend. And so the senior agent's staying in his room, and she goes. She's been in an insane asylum since she was a little kid, so mm-hmm. she goes to this pub and she starts drinking whiskey. And what she finds is, because everywhere she goes, the imaginary fiend is there. So nobody else can see it, but it's constantly there. And it's like, I know that you fear me and blah, blah. And it's always talking in her ear. And as she's mm-hmm. drinking the whiskey, she's like, oh, God, I don't really like this, but I can't fucking hear her anymore.
Yeah.
And you see they do it visually really cool where the imaginary fiend's word bubbles start to get...
Yeah.
like obscured until mm-hmm. there's just like the black word bubble with no words in it, and you can see on the creature's face like why are you not, why can't you hear me, what's going on? And so she's finally like become and they tie this into there's actually a really good there's another character that offers a really good idea of why people drink and do drugs, and it's the idea that you are this person and you've done things that maybe you're not too happy with. Everybody has.
See, I thought it was because they're fucking awesome.
Well,
I
guess. But, you know, she goes and she's like, when you drink or do drugs, you can become this other person with this other story, and you're not necessarily beholden to what you've done. I thought it was really eloquently. The writing, it's Tim Seeley? What else has he done?
Hackslash.
Yep. I thought so, and it's such a surprise for me, because I really want to like Hackslash, but...
It's a good concept. My friend Adrian produces it, is doing the movie.
It's a TNA book.
No, it's executed like a TNA book, but it's a great idea.
I mean,
no, the TNA book is Hackslash versus Vaporella.
I don't know.
No, but it's always been a
friend of mine
book.
Had the omnibus years ago, and I borrowed it. I got halfway through, and
the
I'm
idea
like,
is great.
It's
pronounced omnibus.
Right.
The idea is fantastic, but... it's just like, oh, okay, well, okay. She's wearing a skirt where you can actually see her fucking panties. Like, the skirt's so short that her panties are sticking down like a beak, you know?
It's good to see she's wearing like at least she's wearing panties, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
You prude?
It's not...
Well, I only read, like, five fucking issues, so maybe
at
Frank
some point...
It's not
Frank Cho. Come on, dude.
Yeah, no, it's not it.
But you know, I'm sorry, Tim Seeley.
But the concept's still good.
The concept.
And by the way, Tim
fantastic.
Does... Oh, maybe he does draw
it's
it.
Fantastic.
Maybe he did draw
he
it.
He also does, what's the Revival, right?
Yeah, he's a good writer.
Yeah, he's a great writer.
So
I love
he hooked
Revival.
Up with a pervert that draws Hackslash.
I love Revival. I thought that was a...
Can't blame him for that. The guy
that's
got the book
done. That's kind of a
tangent,
though.
Okay, so do her Infernal...
Actually, I'm going to let you do this one, because I know I let you touch up on it. There's another book from Aftershock.
Another, which I just want a quick shout-out to Garth Ennis's A Walk Through Hell. One and two are out. One was all set up. Two is fucking fantastic.
And which, by the way, Garth Ennis is a fan of this program, which you're going to see.
Yeah, you'll see.
Oh, he is?
Yes, yeah, he is.
I don't know. Well, I don't know if he's a fan.
No,
I gave him
a
six-pack of Sierra Nevada on like a 95-degree day when he was signing
autographs.
That makes
him a fan, dude.
We'll edit that part out.
Go back and get him another one.
Is Alex Ross a fan of the show? I hope so.
I'm going to guess.
Hope
not.
You're watching, Alex.
So, Her Infernal Descent. Yeah. I didn't know anything about this. Chris brought over the other night, and
this was one that I read, and I'm like, I'm reading it, and I'm like, fucking Sean's gonna love this shit.
It's this older woman, and she's, I don't really know what the deal is. She's like referencing her family. I think she's senile.
She's the last one of her family who's alive.
So William Blake shows up, and
the poet.
Yeah, okay. And is basically walking her into the afterlife to meet her family, and it's not
just the afterlife, but basically the seven rays of hell.
The seven, yes, mm-hmm. From Dante's Inferno, mm-hmm. And
that's what it's supposed to be about.
It's so fucking, like, it reminds me so much of Alan Moore's Promethea, where there's like a whole 10 issues where they walk you through the major arcana of the Kabbalah, of the tarot, and it just has that feeling, but it's not just that. But really cool. But the thing that blew me away about this book, at some point, so she runs into, you know, Edgar Allan Poe and Homer and all this, and then David fucking Foster Wallace. And anybody that puts David Foster Wallace in the same company as, you know, Ovid, and I mean, it made me so happy because he's one of my favorite writers, and it was so cool to see him right there with the fucking trademark bandana, mm-hmm. You know, and like. The next page over from Shakespeare. So it was really, really, really cool.
You get
Hendrix is, you know, and I mean, that's another thing. I love the idea of music as literature because I've always been a proponent of that.
Sure.
So
it's poetry to fucking music.
And I need to get this book, you know, so I. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, also, it's. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, really, what I really like about it is it's basically, yeah, it's a tour through hell. What it reminds me of is the film, the Robin Williams.
Oh, I've never seen it. It's based on Richard Matheson.
What Dreams May Come.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of that, but just, you know, being led, this woman being led through the afterlife with just these literary giants.
Literary titans.
And then and they just nail the prose of a lot of these people too.
I'm sorry, he's throwing. So Mike has blueberries that apparently were.
You started talking about poets.
They were marinated. So Mike has these blueberries. He said earlier were marinated in his testicles. So I'm assuming that he was like putting quantities of them in his taint and walking around the store. Yeah, you didn't know that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to drop that bomb. So anyway. Karen,
yes.
Thank you so much for coming.
Oh my God!
Was there a book you wanted to talk about or anything?
No, look at cheating, whispering in the ear like a devil.
Yeah, he's
like
dead.
That. What you call that? Yes. The fiend.
Like what?
The fiend.
The imaginary fiend.
Yeah.
Guns of Blazing Six.
Oh my God!
Finally,
it's coming out this week. We'll talk about it on the next episode. I can't wait to read it.
We're going. No, but we're going to the Philippines. A lot of people in the Philippines are watching this tonight.
I don't have to wait for you to go to the Philippines and come back before I can read the fucking book, right?
No, but
what was that, Jordan?
He doesn't get it till San Diego.
Shut your mouth, Jordan.
No,
I want a copy of that fucking book. You almost spoiled some shit.
You
for
know
me
what's
earlier.
Funny is that I'm waiting for like the porn parody version.
Buns a glazing. Oh, it's already been
done.
That's
the one I'm waiting
for. We did that way before we ever made the other thing. We're like, we should turn this into something.
I bet you
did. It's like for public consumption called Guns a Blazing instead of this Buns a Glazing shit we've been doing.
Buns a Glazing.
No, but. We're going to leave soon. But we won't be back before we do this again, which is a very drunk way of saying.
That sounded ominous.
Right. So. Karen,
we'll see
thank
you later.
You're welcome.
For bringing
thank
us
you.
Out to the
I,
Philippines.
Okay. I learned a lot.
To never do this again.
You have an open invitation next year when you come out for your 10th year.
Ironically enough, I say this every
month. Yeah, I mean, if I do this again, I'll be much better prepared and bring my own little stack of...
I'm
liking that Vertigo... thing, and then I'm liking that rock and roll,
they're great. They're great.
And then maybe, I don't know, decide on this.
You're going to read it. We'll find out.
Please, I would love to edit in a response video from you.
But yeah, Scott Gimple, you know.
Yeah. Well.
Mr. Gimple.
But she's bringing us out to Asia Pop Comic Con.
Yes.
At the end of
yes.
July.
It's going to be not just... there's like one convention happening now in the Philippines, and there's San Diego, and then there's APCC, and right after that, History Channel setting up a convention as well in Manila. So I don't know why.
It's, Mike, are you going to be at all those?
No, just at the
San Diego
Asia Pop, San Diego Comic Con and Asia Pop.
So are you're going to have a creator table?
At, yeah.
Okay, dude.
And me, not just me, but Raphael as well.
I know. Yeah. I'm telling you, man. I'm so invested in your fucking book. I'm not kidding. Like, you were like giving shit away earlier, and I was like, "What are you doing?" You're like, "I'm just talking about how the Thirsty Crows, Chris's band, Jonathan."
They
Grimm's
make an
art,
appearance
Jonathan
in there. Art. Well, a few of our friends make appearances. Not Jordan.
Not me, but that's fine.
Not you.
The record.
Well, we have that other thing we're working on.
What are we working on?
Talk about.
Oh, we have a soundtrack coming out. But no, so yeah, I mean, we're really excited to go there, and thank you for coming on our show.
Oh,
yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, real fast, too. You just said you have a soundtrack coming out.
Yes.
And I know that you ordered quite a large amount of them.
I mean, I guess.
No.
3,000.
You did. CD. You did.
1,000 CDs and 500 records.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking talk about it, dude, because you're going to need to move some of those.
Oh, well, yeah. you know a little bit about this.
Oh,
thing.
Dude, I know, yeah.
So
will,
no,
will
we,
it
so,
be on Apple Music? No.
And yeah, it'll be I think we're actually going to release some stuff digitally soon.
Well, Carl King did one side.
Have you heard his music?
Yeah, I have.
Amazing.
I met him at LAD.
So yeah, he did a 14-minute suite that's going to be side A of the record. And it's like John Williams meets Ennio Morricone, if you guys know those names.
Done.
And it's so good. I mean, and also a little James Horner thrown in. And like, when I told him, I was like, yeah, it sounds like this and that. He's like, yeah, yeah. And then he showed me the stack of CDs he was listening to while he was composing the music. And it was Star Trek II soundtrack. It was Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And it was Star Wars and Indiana Jones. And that's what our book is, you know?
What a fucking hodgepodge, dude. I love it.
All the fatty ingredients that you need. And then side B is my buddy Duff. Junior.
Carl Weathers would have been.
Oh, and Junior, boom.
You've heard Junior.
I mean, I love it.
The goddamn Gonzo blazing. Yeah. It's like
the fantastic
it's like fried chicken.
Duff Franco? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a fried chicken rock song.
Yeah, Duff.
If that makes sense. It's like
obligatory demo. Corrosion of Conformity meets
Leonard Skinner without the Confederate flag.
Yeah, I mean, it was a different time.
Yeah.
We love our governor.
Okay, so
it's not Ted Nugent, all right?
No,
but shit was
Skinner,
different.
It's Southern Fried. I mean, me and Duff both come from North Carolina, and so we understand the heart and soul of like.
You
but,
come from the North, boy.
But not being like a racist asshole, just enjoying that. But like. Let's not be an asshole.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think Skinner. They didn't approve that lyric.
Yeah. I'm doing a non-racist.
They were
remake.
Like, no, you know,
dude, let's do non-racist remixes of every Leonard Skinner album.
They didn't have racist music.
Well, they didn't, dude.
They did not.
They had Confederate flags on every album cover.
Yeah, that's because
that wasn't.
Show
that
me a Leonard Skinner that shirt that doesn't have a Confederate flag on it.
Did you ever hear
the fuck? Stray Cats did a bunch of fucking.
That's not
Confederate
Leonard Skinner,
flag shit. I'm saying they had a bunch of shit with Confederate flags because back then they didn't see it as the way we see it now. They thought it was more like a rebel thing.
And
that's
what
it was an analogy for a rebel. It's a different thing.
Like Dukes of Hazzard, which
today,
by the way.
You couldn't do it today, obviously, you know, but during that era, admit something different.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Okay.
I'm not justifying one thing or another.
On that note, if you're in the Philippines, and you write for Manila Times?
Yes, I write a monthly pop culture column.
So you should read that, and you could probably read it online if you don't live in the Philippines. So I'll start doing that. And number six, Guns and Blazing coming out. Thirsty Crows got a new record coming out.
We do have
Jordan's
a new record
got a painting
coming out.
Of it at the Pasadena Museum of Modern Art. She looks very lovely and you know.
Some would say stunning.
Maybe had a little bit too much. It partook in the buffet table a little bit too much tonight, but I still love you, Jordan. You're still a very awesome asset to the show.
Okay, so from those of us at Drinking with Comics. Thank you, and good night.
Ow! Jordan!
I gotta pee like nobody's business. Oh my god.
That was awesome.
It was very good. I have.
Wow. That was Jordan.
I'm sorry.
What?
That's what she gets from showing
I know,
up.
I.
You see, that's what part
of okay?
I'll officially grab some, you know, where it's, they're still.
This
you know,
table setup is that's fucking cool. Awful. Because sure. I'm trapped.
You know what's funny? That bubble in there?
Oh,
there.
Oh, dude, it's my god.
Is that you're tired of me?
No,
but okay. What does that mean?
It's all personal.
Are you still nervous?
Hey, maybe now I can finish it and talk about it next time.
Not anymore. Ooh,
you were
my standards of intellectual ability. Oh my god.
No, you were fantastic.
Thank you.
She said she hoped she did okay. Like you were amazing.
Hey.
No problem. All right, Amy, honey, you were like the most sobering thing that's happened to this show in months.
Well, that's a given, but
thank you.
Yeah.
Hence the reason why it's called Drinking with Comics. Karen, what's the name of the Thor show again?
Victor Magtanggol or something like that.
Victor what?
Magtanggol.
Send them back.
Victor Magtanggol.
Did you not know that?
You tomorrow.
No, because I want to send an image.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how it started, man.
You open in the morning, right?
Yeah, I do.
Make sure you pick up the blueberries. Hey, I'm here all day Sunday. I'm here all day to fucking Sunday.
That one's going to be the other one.
Make sure you pick up the blueberries.
Well, I asked.